Well, we do this every year, but we just want to thank those of you who have served our country and our freedoms. Would you stand up right now so we can say thank you to you who have served in our military and given your time and lost. Amen. Yeah. Thank you. Amen. And I'm curious, I've never asked this question. I'd like for those of you who have lost a loved one in military service, would you stand up? We'd like to thank you too. Is anyone here who's lost a loved one? Okay, just a few of you. Let's just, the ultimate cost. Yeah. Greater love. Greater love. All great movements have one thing in common, and that is sacrifice. All great movements, doesn't matter what it is, all great movements have this joint, sacrificial, core value. And so we thank you for those of you who have served our country in this way. But is this true as a church? A church is defined not by what it gets, but by what it gives. And that's a core value. We're trying to build this amazing value of generosity in our people, an abundance mentality to life, not a scrimping mentality. And so as we take up offering, think about that right now. Think about your country that you live in. Every day, the sacrifices that are made. But more than that, our church that was founded by Jesus Christ, who gave his life for us. Okay? Speaking of our country, we are hurting right now in Oklahoma, and more Oklahoma in particular. And Jerry Idle just wanted me to mention a few things. We are collecting relief supplies, and we're partnering with BOG and a ministry called Matthew 25 to do our part in providing relief efforts for the tornado victims in Moore, Oklahoma. Jerry is also tentatively there when the dust settles a little bit, planning a trip. So any of you would be interested, contact Jerry Idle to go and help. Right now, they don't even want us to come because it's such a mess. But our Bruce Caldwell is now working for an organization called Next Step Storms. And it helps in the cleanup after the disaster. They go in, and I think he said in about a month or something like that. So if any of you are interested in that, there are also bins out there in the atrium where you can provide stuff and you can give for the victims. I don't know if you saw that this week, the pictures, but it was just utterly, utterly devastating. And we want to help them out. I think that's all. We're going to have Father's Day coming up, and I know it's not as big a deal as Mother's Day. But we want to make it a big deal, okay? We want to make it a big deal. No excuses. O.J. Simpson. On why he did not call police to help him reclaim what he believed was stolen sports memorabilia from his Las Vegas hotel room. The police, since my trouble, have not worked out for me. Ashley Simpson on why she lip-synced during a live performance on Saturday Night Live. I have severe acid reflux. Winona Ryder, after being arrested at Saks Fifth Avenue with $4,760 worth of clothes and accessories. I was told that I should shoplift. My director said I should try it out. Richard Nixon on wiretapping without a warrant. When the president does it, that means it's not illegal. You remember that one? Eddie Murphy to a police officer after he was pulled over for picking up a transvestite prostitute. I was just giving her a ride home. Or him. Yeah, you're right. Lori David, producer of An Inconvenient Truth, excusing herself for taking multiple private jets several times a year. I'm not perfect. This is not about perfection. I don't expect anybody else to be perfect either. Bill Clinton on his pot-smoking youth. I didn't inhale, and I never tried it again, he said. Dick Cheney on why he skipped service in Vietnam. I had other priorities. Seattle Mariners outfielder Ichiro Suzuki explaining why he dropped a fly ball. I was sending mental signals for the ball not to come my way. Because during the day, it's impossible for me to see the ball, so I lacked mental signals. Barry Bonds, after testifying that he had accidentally used performance-enhancing drugs supplied by his trainer, I never asked what it was. Michael Jackson, after dangling his baby out a third-story window, I just got caught up in the excitement of the moment. Eve, after eating the fruit, God explicitly told her not to. The servant beguiled me, and I did eat. Adam, after eating the same fruit, that woman you gave me handed me the fruit. Ever since Adam and Eve, we've been concocting these terrible excuses, haven't we? Just awful. I mean, you read through those, terrible. There's just one proverb I want us to focus on this weekend. Because what we try to do around here is take Scripture and see how it intersects with life. And there's one that I want you to look at right now and take home the insert because, you know, you have two chapters in there you can read this week. But there's one that I want to focus on because this is one of them, of a few, that is repeated in Proverbs. It's stated here in Proverbs 22:13, and then it's stated in chapter 25, verse 13. It's as if Solomon says, you know, there's some people in my life that are just not pulling their weight. They have too many excuses. And he uses this imagery. He says it's the sluggard who says, there's a lion outside. I'll be killed in the public square. And again, he repeats the same almost word for word in chapter 25. And the idea here is that there are some people who always have excuses. Always have excuses. And our culture is so long on excuse making and short on personal responsibility. So I thought it'd be important for us to just stop and take a look at this real core value that's in the book of Proverbs and give you something to think about this week. Because so many people blame God, blame the government, blame the education system, blame the coaches, blame the schools, blame your family, blame your parents. But don't blame yourself. Don't take responsibility for your own life. I love this image. This could be the title of this night, this week's message. Have you seen this video, this little girl who just tells us to just worry about ourselves? Take a look at this video.
Worry about yourself.
Can I help?
No. I'll help. I don't. You can help when more.
Okay? You can help when we are out to
you. Okay. Do you have
this thing? Probably. You want me to help,
Russ? No. Thank you. No, thank you.
What do you want me to do?
Worry about yourself. Worry about yourself. I'll do this one, so gonna do that. You drive!
I can't say any better than that. Let's stand for closing prayer, okay? Because, I mean, that just says it all. Just worry about yourself. But this proverb reminds us that the unreliable person always has an excuse. There's a lion outside. I'll be murdered in the streets, you know. And, the lion's not sleeping tonight. It's out there and ready to get me. So there's always this rationale. And so that's how some of us live. And I think it's a really good idea for us to have a week where we stop and see how many times we make excuses. I love this story about one Sunday morning, mom goes into her son's room to get him to get up and go to church. And he says, I'm not going. And he said, I'll give you three reasons. I don't like those people. They don't like me, and they're not nice to me. And she said, well, you're going to go, and I'll give you three reasons. Number one is, you're a Christian, and you need to go to church. Number two, you're 42 years old. And number three, you're the preacher, okay? We do feel that way every once in a while. There's always an excuse. I mean, and psychologists call it the self-bias. We have a natural self-bias. And then it's directed to our identity. A lot of times we cannot face the reality of our failures or inadequacies. So because we can't face that, we always make excuses. That's the psychology of excuse making. And if you look for excuses, you will find them. Have you ever been served by someone in retail or in a restaurant and they had excuses and it was unacceptable? There's a great picture of this. Jack Nicholson years ago was in a movie called Five Easy Pieces. And listen to this dialogue. He goes into a restaurant. He asks for two pieces of toast. And the waiter says, toast is not on the menu. He says, you have bread. You have a toaster. Yes, but toast is not on the menu. Completely exasperated, he says, why, see, you have a chicken salad sandwich. What does that consist of? The waiter says, chicken salad, lettuce, mayonnaise, and you can have it on plain or toasted bread. He said, I'll have the chicken salad sandwich on toasted bread. Hold the chicken salad. Hold the mayo. Hold the lettuce. Bring me what's left. And it's just this great picture of self-bias. We get locked into our excuse-making. My boss is a jerk. I'm not going to make him look good. People will take advantage of me. I don't make enough money to begin with. No one appreciates what I do anyway. Once you do it, it'll always be expected of you. Nobody else does it either. Other people will be upset with me if I work too hard. And we go on and on about all these reasons why we don't meet expectations or succeed. I love this. One woman reported in Reader's Digest that she was in a department store looking for a salesperson to pay for her purchase, and she ran into a woman wearing the store's ID tag. Excuse me, she said, I'm trying to locate a cashier. And the woman said, oh, I can't help you. She says, I work in customer service, and she walked away. Remember this picture? This is the winner of the That's Not My Job Award. Take a look at this picture. The winner of the That's Not My Job Award. If you need an image of this week's message, right there it is. Excuses, excuses, excuses. There's an old piece about a business person. I mentioned this briefly a couple weeks ago, and I'll give you the complete one now. Of a business person who had an excuse for every single month of the year why business was bad. January, people spent all their cash for the holidays. February, all the best customers have gone south. March, unseasonably cold and too rainy. April, everybody's preoccupied with income taxes. May, too much rain, farmers distressed. June, too little rain, farmers distressed. July, heat has everyone down. August, everybody is away on vacation. September, everybody's back, broke. October, customers waiting to see how fall clearance sales turn out. November, people upset over election results. December, customers need money for the holidays. And you know, obviously tongue-in-cheek, it points to there's always an excuse because of the self-bias. I remember years ago, in light of last week's message, I thought of this story this week of two brothers who were raised by an abusive alcoholic father. And one became an abusive alcoholic himself, and he was asked why, and he said, because my dad was. And the other brother did not become an abusive alcoholic father. And he was asked why, and he said, because my dad was. There's always an excuse, isn't there? There's always a reason why we can fail. Because of that sense of self-bias, Drs. Frank Minerith and Paul Meyer had a book they wrote years ago called Happiness is a Choice. And in it they said this. This is the cure. This is the cure right here. As psychiatrists, we cringe whenever we hear patients use the word can't. They say, for example, I just can't get along with my husband. My husband and I just can't communicate. I can't seem to discipline my children the way I should. I can't give up the affair I'm having. I can't find a job. I can't stop overeating. I can't love my wife. And they said, any good psychiatrist knows that I can't and I've tried are merely lame excuses. We insist that our patients be honest with themselves and use language that expresses the reality of the situation. So we have our patients change their can'ts to won'ts. So it'd be a good test this week. Whenever you hear yourself saying, I can't, change it to a won't. I just won't get along with my husband. My husband and I will not communicate. I will not discipline my children the way I should. I won't give up the affair I'm having. I won't find a job. I won't stop overeating. I won't love my wife. And if an individual changes all his can'ts to won'ts, he stops avoiding the truth, quits deceiving himself, and starts living in reality. The Apostle Paul put it this way. He said in Philippians 4:13, this is the great verse for all of us who are excuse makers. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Say that with me. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. And that's the ultimate verse. My friend Gary Sweeten puts it this way. It's a lot of times when you're dealing with people who are in excuse making They are victimized. They see themselves as victims, and they're codependent. And one of the things he had Sherry and I do this because we were so codependent with this church years that he says there are three questions. So jot these three questions down. You ask yourself these three questions. I want, I need, and I like. I want, I need, and I like. And if you ask yourself, you write down, what do I want? What do I need? What do I like? Because a lot of times what we find is that we don't want to be honest, so we just make up excuses because we just really don't want to love. For example, like we should love. We just don't want to do it. So the excuses allow us to keep like avoiding the reality that there's something really messed up in our heart. There's just something really messed up. And that's why I love it. They say when you change your can'ts to won'ts, you have to face reality. Jesus, John 6, he looked at a man who had been lame for 38 years, couldn't walk. Does anybody remember what was the question he asked that man? Do you want to get well? Now you think that'd be a crazy question to ask someone who couldn't walk. But Jesus probably sensed that he liked being a victim. Doesn't sound politically correct to say that, but I think he understood that this man liked something about his position to where he didn't even try. Do you want to get well? And that's really what it comes down to. What do I want? What do I need? What do I like? If you're married, those are three great questions to sit down and face the truth. Because then you say, I don't want to love. I don't want to be unselfish. I don't want to serve. And you face, oh my gosh, the reality of my heart and why I'm always making excuses for why I don't do what I'm supposed to do. There's a lion outside. I'll be murdered in the streets. And it has to start with you change your can'ts to won'ts. Look at this that's on your chair. What's your excuse for not doing this, married couples? What's your excuse? Is there always a reason not to date each other? There's always an excuse. There's always an excuse. And so what happens is people who really make things happen, they don't see lions that other people see. That peace continues. January, post-holiday sales, free 30-day credit. February, Florida vacation specials. March, end-of-the-season sale on energy-efficient space heaters. April, free income tax guy with $20 purchase. May, $50 off special shipment of umbrellas. June, free seminar, 10 secrets to more efficient farming. July, sale on air conditioners and floor fans. August, 25% off on camping equipment and five free roadmaps. September, this was written a long time ago, back to school sales, drawings for football tickets. October, pre-fall clearance specials. November, rollback of prices to election day 5 years ago. December, holiday sale, no payments until March 1st. Do you look for a reason not to say I can't? Or you say, you know what, I won't. Zig Ziglar, I used to love listening to Zig Ziglar. I used to listen to him all the time. He's a great storyteller. He used to say that for 24 years of his life, he deliberately weighed over 200 pounds. And he said the reason was, it was by choice because he said he never accidentally ate anything. It was always his choice. It was always deliberate. And there are some real psychological identity complexities with this issue. I don't mean to lessen it because it is an issue of what we talk about here all the time. Identity, identity, identity. Facing reality. But aside from that, if we're going to diligently progress in our walk in having the abundant life Jesus said he came to have, John 10:10, I came that you might have life and have it to the full, it is going to take a no-excuse attitude in our lives. In a culture that leans into what? Making excuses. There's always an excuse. There's always a reason. And there's always someone we can blame. But the people who have successful careers, relate well to their families, are involved in their community in a healthy way, are active, growing Christ followers, even people who are physically fit, when you get close to them, for someone you admire, for the proactiveness and the strength they have and the peace they have in Christ, I'm telling you, it's because they've eliminated excuses. One of the things is they've stopped making excuses for why they don't do what they know they should do. How many of us here tonight want to have a vibrant faith? And we want to be able to pull scripture verses out of the air when a time warrants it, a moment warrants it. But we always have an excuse for why we can't read our Bibles. We always have an excuse. There's always a reason, isn't there? Remember that proverb a few weeks ago, Proverbs 20, verse 4, the sluggard does not plow in season, so at harvest he looks and finds nothing. Everybody wants to reap the fruit of a really true Christ-following life, but how many people want to eliminate the excuses that keep them from doing what they know they need to do? And what the can't to won't step is being honest with who you are and your identity as an individual. I remember a guy whose credit cards were stolen, but he didn't report it because the thief was spending less than his wife had been spending on her credit cards. And you look at something like that, and you know, it happens on both sides of the gender equation, trust me, we know. And you know, in our culture, there's always an excuse for why they've made something for me, and it meets my identity issues, and it makes me feel better, and life gets really out of control. And in essence, what self-control is all about is eliminating excuses. It's saying, there's no lion in the street. I'm not going to be killed. And I can get out and I can try this and I can do this and God's going to be with me. Now look at this verse from Luke 6:38. Jesus said something here. He says, "Give and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you." He said this differently. He said the same thing many different ways. But basically, you're going to get out of life what you put into it. Okay? Now, except for this principle. That's true to an extent. What he said is that when you take the long view over and over, sometime read the New Testament with this principle in mind. When you give more than is required, you'll eventually receive more than you expect. When you give more than is required, you'll eventually give more than you expect. So when you start eliminating excuses for why you can't. When you stop doing that and you start saying, "I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength," you eliminate that fear-based identity because you're secure in His love that'll never let you down, it'll never fail you. When you start doing that, you eventually start to receive more than you expect. Now, I say that because I've seen that in my life. Jesus said, if you'll give for me, He said, you will not fail to receive more brothers and sisters than you can ever count. And I always think about that verse because I think about, I left home. He said, whoever leave home for me will receive 1,000 times as much in this age and life to come. And I always think about that when I think of, you know, we're part of this incredible church. And many of us who are involved here have more brothers and sisters than we can ever dream. We stopped making excuses for why we can't get involved. Because you know what? When it comes to a church, there's always an excuse. I'm telling you, there's always an excuse for not getting involved in a church's mission. There's always a reason. But for those of us who for over years have cultivated these relationships, we have literally hundreds of brothers and sisters around this place. We will stand over each other's graves someday and cry. Why? Because we just did one little thing that so many people can't do. Stop making excuses for why you can't find the church where you can give your life to its mission. It is really that simple. And so Jesus wasn't commanding anything there. He wasn't saying, when it comes to offering time, give more than is required and you will get more. He wasn't saying, He's saying, this is the way the world works. This is the way the world works. And I would tell those of you young people, I mean, this is almost like a graduation speech, because this one this weekend is 100% motivational. I mean, there's not much depth to this one. It is just simply saying, hey, take a look at the excuses you're making for why you're overweight, for why you're spiritually a lightweight, for why your marriage isn't working like you know it could, and on and on and on. there's a lion outside. I'll make myself too vulnerable if I go and do this. But when you give more than is required, you'll eventually receive more than you expected over the long haul. Now think about this when it comes to, you know, retail. And think about the businesses that you patronize. It's the ones who, they don't see what they can't get done because, you know, they make all these excuses. They're the ones who say, we'll go the second mile and we'll do whatever we can do to make sure that you feel like you were served well. So think about this, the school teacher who stays after school to help a struggling student. It pays a price. She will eventually get more than she expected because she gave more than was required. The construction worker who takes pains to chip away the concrete and put the wiring under the cement rather than just under the rug, so to speak. The waitress who graciously brings an extra glass of water without being asked. The stay-at-home dad who loads up two toddlers and takes a lunch box to his wife at work or to his kid's third grade classroom or something. I mean, who just goes that extra and over time begins to experience when you do more than is required because you've eliminated the, there's a lion out there, will eventually receive more than they expected. So here's the question I have, the assignment I give you. Real simple. What is it you want? What is it you need? What is it you like? Have you made that really clear to the point where you can evaluate your heart authentically? See what your fears are and cut the excuses. Cut the excuses. And I don't know about you, but I needed this message. Now here's the real deal. Here's the real deal about this. The failure rate of being a preacher is really high because what we envision is typically not going to happen for a lot of people. But I want you to look at something here. I want you to look at an interaction Jesus had. It's recorded in Luke's Gospel, chapter 9. And I'm going to read it in what's called the Message Bible. If you have a hard time reading the Bible, the Message Bible is a really easy translation to read. And beginning in verse 57, it says that on the road, someone asked if he could go along with Jesus. I'll go with you wherever, he said. Jesus was curt. Are you ready to rough it? We're not staying in the best inns, you know. And one translation is, I don't have any place to lay my head. Jesus said to another, follow me. And he said, certainly, but first excuse me for a couple of days, please. I have to make arrangements for my father's funeral. Jesus refused. He said, first things first. Your business is life, not death. I mean, and life is urgent. Announce God's kingdom. He's digging right at this guy. What do you want? He was looking right through him. There was probably a way he could plan his father's funeral, but Jesus saw right through his excuse making. Then another said, I'm ready to follow you, master, but first excuse me while I get things straightened out at home. And Jesus said, no procrastination, no backward looks. You can't put God's kingdom off till tomorrow. Seize the day. Seize the day. Here's the question. What's keeping you from being a sold-out follower of Jesus Christ? I mean, why are you sort of languishing in the same spiritual place? And you're not moving. What's your excuse? Do you really think it's going to hold up? What's your excuse for not being baptized like Nathan and Kaylee? I mean, I know some of us were baptized as infants. That was about your parents' faith. It was wonderful. It's probably why you're here. But baptism is about your faith. It's about you saying, I'm going to stand for the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. What excuse? Do you really think whatever excuse you have for not doing this is going to hold up? I wonder. What would Jesus say to you? What would you say to him? And do you need to sit down and say, Jesus, what do I want? Tell me, what do I need? What do I like? So that I can get to the reality of my heart and turn my can'ts to won'ts. Max Dupree wrote a great book on leadership, and he said the first step of leadership, and this is true of self-leadership, is define reality. So I, more than any other week, I want to give you this assignment to spend this week getting real quiet with God in solitude, asking Him to tell you the answer to these three questions. What do I want? What do I need? What do I like? So that I can get to the bottom of why it is that I make excuses and why, as of this night, I am done. I'm done. Seize the day, right? Seize the day. Because at the end of the day, what we're missing out on when we make excuses, we're missing out on life. We're missing out on life that He has ordered for us that we might experience an abundant life. Amen? Now, what we're going to do right now, I want to ask you to stand up with me, okay? Stand up to this. Everybody who agrees with me, stand up. There you go. There you go. There you go. I want you to do. I want you to bow with me right now, because do you think that Jesus would have had any excuses for not going to the cross? You get the sense that in the garden, He kind of tried to just, the self-bias wanted to come out, and He wrestled with it. But then He said, finally, what did He say? Not my will, but Your will be done, Father. And so I want you to, if you are here and you want Jesus Christ to be the leader of your life, or you have made that decision, I want to invite you to take of these symbols, especially on Memorial Day, when we have a dual value to this, don't we? The dual value is, we know as a country that without sacrifice, there is no movement. There is no, we hold these truths to be self-evident that all men are created by their Creator with earth certain inalienable rights. But we also have that value of knowing that in Christ we're set free to live and to love. No excuses, because His love never fails, right? That's what the cross says. His love never fails. And you can have your identity rooted in that reality to the extent that even if you think there's a lion outside, there's the Lion of Judah who's walking with you. And He's a really big lion. Let's pray. Father, sometimes we comfort the afflicted, and sometimes we afflict the comfortable. And I don't know why Solomon chose to repeat this proverb, this tweet, but maybe because we needed a double tweet on this one. In a culture that is rampant with irresponsibility, always making excuses, we love to be the victim. May we be different as we follow the One who laid aside the self-bias and He went to the cross. And showed us Your love never fails. And You never give up. You never give up. So I don't know how powerful truth can be necessarily. I pray it's really powerful tonight. That this will be a week where as Southbrookers we are evaluating who we really are. What we really want. What we really need. And what we really like. So that we can change our can'ts to won'ts. Jesus, help us to do that. As we follow so closely to You that You hit us with Your dust. And that's what our prayer is tonight. Is Southbrook, everybody said in Jesus' name, amen. Have a great week, everybody.